Welcome to session two. You didn't get session one, and we're so sorry. We had a bit of power failure. But the Holy Spirit is with us today, so we have a lot of power.
Amen.
So thank you for listening. Lord, this is a great day. Lord, you so define what it is to be alive for us. Lord, what life you pour out. Lord, when you show up, there's just an incredible moment that we have when we realize the beauty of who you are. And Lord, you are always showing up.
Thank you.
We just need to see you today. We just need to look into your eyes and see your love for us. Lord, we need to drink of the waters of your Spirit today. Lord, we need to be washed clean by your word this morning. So Lord, we just pray that you'd separate this time out. Lord, that all that has gone before this week, Lord, where we have seen every kind of thing that might dishearten us, God, we just thank you that we have a sure foundation in you this morning, that you will so bless us when we come into your presence in humility, teachability, that we come in faith, and we come with such a desire to go deeper with you. So Lord, be Lord of this time indeed. May this make such a mark on our character in Christ. God, we thank you for your word. And we know that it is a good thing that we are here with you now. So bless us and lead us now. We pray in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So, any thoughts on last week? Anybody have a reflection? If not, then we're going to look at James.
I do have one thing.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Is that we're look for it because you're going to be surprised by God. Because his own brother that he probably slept in the same bed with,
and
that didn't know who he was, came to know him and wrote this book. So,
know.
If that isn't surprising.
Yeah.
So we're going to be surprised by God.
I just want to say that this steadfastness I needed this week, and God has blessed me with peace about it all.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Yeah, I just had a reflection. Just bear with me in this. The trials of our lives are lovingly applied to us by the Master's hand, that our souls are carefully sculpted into the wonder of Christ-likeness. In our pure joy, we celebrate the sovereignty and wisdom of God the Father to the glory of Jesus the Son. So God is saying to us, do not despair in your life. Life is precious because God and his breath are precious. Joy overcomes despair every time. So, you know, when the trials come, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And something about last week just took that to another level for me. Because it was a wild week in the office. So, I don't know. It's so good. Okay, well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, always, you know, if you have a little nugget that God gives you during the week, you know, it kind of sets the stage for the next week, you know, as long as you don't spend half an hour, you know. All right, so on your handout, to this point, we've been considering the role of trial in our lives, the God-ordained, soul-sanctifying, pure, joy-producing walk with Jesus through affliction by which Christ in us, the hope of glory, is really realized. So today we'll consider how we call upon the great resources that are ours in Christ as we navigate the inevitable difficulties and disappointments in our lives. So somebody read for us verses 5-8 in chapter 1.
I'll read
read it? If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does.
Mm. Thank you. All right, so verse 5, we're going to spend about a lot of time on it, and even the first half of the verse, so I apologize. But what actually, James writes, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. What is he speaking of, actually?
He's speaking of all of us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what is the action he's calling us to?
To ask.
Yeah, which mm-hmm. is?
To say it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. which is to?
Pray.
Yes. Mm-hmm. yeah, this is prayer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't mean to always go after one specific word, but yeah, this is, you're all correct. But this is a primer on prayer, is what this is, what we're going to study today. You could just, and how beautiful it is that consider it all joy. Well, how is this joy? How is trial going to be navigated? Well, guess what? The first step in navigating, I mean, the thing is in your face. It's horrible, or it's difficult, or it's exasperating. And what do?
Pray.
So I love how James put this, the Holy Spirit through him, put this together, that we're, we're going to consider it all joy in navigating this thing. It's going to take prayer.
Well, if you don't, it gets worse.
Oh, gosh.
If you've got a pit in your stomach, like you just felt like you got punched in the stomach, if you don't pray, you're going to end up with a full-blown.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think most people think, I don't think people here, but most people in general think prayers are, you know, Hail Mary, Our Father, mm-hmm. or... you know, long drawn out. I think sometimes a prayer is just Jesus, oh, you know, help me, or give me wisdom. I mean, just Jesus is a wonderful prayer. Yeah. He knows.
People call those arrow prayers. Don't you love that?
Mm-hmm. Never heard that one.
Yeah, I love that. You just fire an arrow into the situation. Yeah. You know, you're like, oh my. And there's no time to sit there and have a half an hour wailing. You just got to fire the arrow. And God hears that. So
I always think of Peter when I get in that kind of position. It says, Lord, save me.
Oh, yeah, when he's going
he's
down.
Out on the water, Lord, help me.
Yeah.
You know, just
when he's, the water's
sinking.
He's Adam's apple.
Yeah.
Good. Good. Okay. So this is prayer. And again, There's a sequence here. I mean, there's trial, there's prayer, and what is James identifying as the thing that we need?
Wisdom.
God, wisdom.
Yeah, wisdom. So, I want to really go deep with wisdom here today. So, see where the Holy Spirit takes us. But how would you define wisdom?
Knowing to do the right thing in all situations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So knowing. Yeah. So.
It's also the knowledge and word of God.
Yes. It's the source. Does anybody know a proverb along that line?
The second chapter of Proverbs talks about wisdom. I mean, that we really need wisdom to live.
Amen.
How about the fear of the Lord?
Yes.
Wisdom?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Excellent. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Just to start.
Fools despise instruction. So, all right, so there are many, these are all correct. One, I always go to Webster's, I'm just a Webster's guy, I really think he knew Christ. And, but he defines it as the application of knowledge to life circumstance. So, you know, knowledge. Remember that know in the scriptures always is it reflects upon what?
Intimacy.
Yeah. So it's almost like the application of intimacy to your life circumstance. So,
but it's only knowledge till it's walked out, then it becomes wisdom.
Yes.
So you have to walk
yes.
it out.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. It's the application of, isn't it?
Right.
You can have all the knowledge of the world in anything, but if you don't, in faith, walk in that and apply that,
then you don't understand.
You don't understand anything.
You have to seek it.
Yeah.
It just doesn't come to you.
Yeah.
Like I just read the Proverbs. It says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice mm-hmm. for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord.
Oh, my gosh.
So, I mean, it is an active thing. You have to seek her and reach for it. I mean, you just can't sit back and say, hey, look, give me wisdom.
mm-hmm. So you've got to understand that yourself doesn't have it.
No.
That you're not going to be able to search in your repository back there.
No.
Oh, wow.
You're going to have to really go to the Lord and say, you know, I'm a child. I don't get it. I don't know what to do. Please give me wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And he does. He just drops it in like raindrops.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you seek her as silver and search her for as hidden treasure. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Then you would do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I always look at it, too, as a revelation knowledge. You know, it's usually something I would never dream of or think of. It's like, oh my God, out there.
It just comes from left field it comes from the right field.
You know it's not of you.
The correct field. Well, that's great. Thank you for this. I think we could skip to the end of the study. No, the word wise, the Latin root of that, is videre, V-I-D-E-R-E, and it means to see.
Mm.
Isn't that interesting? And again, the definition of wise is having or showing good judgment, to be sagacious, prudent, and discreet. And it's really along the lines of what Mark was saying. And wisdom is the quality of being wise, and the power of judging rightly, and following the soundest course of action based on knowledge, experience, and understanding. So it's all what we've been saying. Mm-hmm. But I think it's so important that there's a humility here. There's a bankruptcy that we have, that we don't have this wisdom without the presence, without the intimacy. We don't have it. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a great risk that, mm-hmm. We run in arrogance. So what do most people walk in who don't know Christ? They walk in their what?
Flesh.
Yeah.
Darkness.
They're self-sufficient. You know, that's the
they're common sense.
Yeah, common sense. Yeah, self-sufficiency. So.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be wary of that creeping up into our lives. So, if being wise is to see, what is seen? What do we see?
Truth.
Yeah. We see truth. Yeah. What is, beyond any circumstance that we face, what is the thing that God always will give? First and foremost, he gives us what?
Peace.
He gives us peace.
Love.
He gives us love.
Faith.
Hope. And charity.
Oh, yes. Hope. Everything. Yeah.
Forgiveness.
He gives us forgiveness. Good.
Yes.
He does.
Grace.
Illumination.
Grace. Illumination.
Is that the right word? Illumination.
You were looking for that too, weren't you?
No, there's another one.
Oh, there's another one.
Revelation.
Perspicacity.
It's all of that, but
discernment.
He gives us Himself.
Oh,
yeah. And, you know, I got to tell you, that is the thing that is the most precious of all. He will give you every good thing. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you, he will give you himself first and foremost. Mm. And all of the rest is yours. Mm. And, you know, how important is it that we seek the giver and the gifts will come? Mm. Yeah. And I don't know. I just... The older I get, the more this has got to happen in my life. Otherwise, I'm going to die. Mm. I must have Christ.
Yeah.
Mm. So that's what you see. You see, you know, if wisdom is to see, you're seeing the character of God. You're seeing him. Mm. I mean, when Jesus walked, he was here in the flesh. And by the grace of God, we have the Spirit to... Bring the fullness. What is that fullness of Christ? Oh, that's everything. That's him. You can't minimize him to just hope. I mean, he is hope.
He's, right.
But
he's everything.
So he will give you him. He will give you, when you pray, he will give you himself, first and foremost, his presence. You will know that he is present. And then the peace comes, and then the hope comes, and then all of them. It's just so amazing how he does this. And wisdom begins with him in view. So that's what you see. And then what you receive is everything that we've already spoken of. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Hey, Rosie.
Come down here.
All right, so we've already blown by Proverbs 1:7, and Harry, thank you for all of that you read from Proverbs, because that's totally where this is going. So if holy fear, I was drawn by the fact that when we behold, you know, God in his fullness and his glory, holy fear is a response that we have. We have a lot of things, but... How would you define holy fear as opposed to any other kind of fear?
Reverence and awe.
Yeah.
Have to lay down.
Yeah.
And worship.
Yeah.
You kind of just shut your mouth.
Oh, wow. Mm.
Yeah, you just don't.
Yeah. Be still. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Holy fear. Holy, remember, means what?
Set apart.
Set apart. So this is a fear that is unlike any other. It has nothing to do with fear of punishment or fear of... It is... A fear that is absolutely peculiar to your encountering in real time the presence of God Almighty. And that's holy fear. And your mouth is shut. What is the emotion that we have? What comes naturally when you have that response? What gift of the Spirit that Jesus modeled so incredibly should come when we're in the presence of God in holy fear.
Just like Isaiah, you know, I'm undone.
He's
dissolved.
Yes, he disintegrated. That's right. He spiritually disintegrated, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's...
It's awe, right?
What's that?
You're just in awe.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I was taken to... humility. This is the first fruit. So what is the first fruit that blossoms from encountering the holy fear of God?
Yeah.
How would we define humility? Anybody have a...
Repentance?
Repentance is hugely a part of it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're repenting of what?
Past life. Your sins.
Yeah. Yeah, you're repenting of self-sufficiency, and you're repenting of arrogance and all of the things that you might have fallen into in your wanderings. I do a lot of this repenting all through the week.
Yeah, we all.
I think it's the foundation of the relationship, ultimately. We recognize God for who he is, and we take ourselves off the throne of our own lives.
We tend to keep crawling back there and taking control.
Yeah. And we recognize he's God, we are not.
Amen.
And we come to him ready to receive.
Yeah.
As you said, arrogance was that key word. I think that's gone.
Yeah.
That's gone, our self-centered agenda.
Mm. Well, you're the one who knew. No, you said, I know you said this. The root word, humility,
humus.
Is, yes,
soil.
Tell us about
soil.
That.
The
soil.
The word of humility is humus in Latin, which means soil. So it's the dirt underneath everything. But in the same sense, it's the soil in which seeds are planted and life can grow.
If it's
good soil.
Yeah.
So, but humility is that recognition of we're underneath.
You know, even one of Jesus' best friend, John, is like repentance because he fell as if dead. He didn't realize how fantastically, awesomely great his best friend was when he saw him in the Isle of Patmos.
Yeah. Yeah, there's just this struck dumb.
Yeah.
That's, the humility that has John has spoken of. It's right out of Genesis 2:7. Thus the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? When we pass away, we're going right back to that dust. I don't care if they discover a jawbone in Tibet. You're never going to get evolution to work for me.
No.
Ever. I mean, how do you evolve a brain? What is this madness that has taken place? I mean, and I believed in that.
Yeah.
Even after becoming a Christian, God had to take me through Genesis to get me out of
there.
Oh, my God.
The first 10 chapters of Genesis is the bedrock of our faith.
And that's
why Satan is attacking, chipping away at creation.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you knock that foundation down, we have nothing.
Yeah, we're not accountable to any. So you have every kind of wickedness going on. Okay, good. So, what are the precious fruits of humility? How does humility function? What happens when we are... When we're truly humble before the Lord, what happens?
Back to self.
You what?
Back to self. You become more Christ-centered, thinking of him and not yourself.
Yes. Selflessness. Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm. You have ears to hear and eyes to see.
Good.
Spiritual.
Yeah.
Spiritual.
You have
eyes.
A teachable...
You see things that... You never saw it before because you're in a different realm.
Yeah.
Yeah, closer relationship.
Yeah.
Oh, Hannah Smith, I think, said that in everything, you have to see God. That's in everything, in every situation. And he will give you the calm and the color of what you see.
Wow. The calm...
And the color. What you see.
That's lovely.
Every situation you're in, everything you see, if you see God in that, it changes your whole perspective of what's going on.
Mm.
Thank you.
There's also, where before Christ you were me-centered, and after Christ you... want to participate in the stirring up of the Holy Spirit in someone else. It just becomes a really important thing in your life. Everybody you're around, you want to see the Spirit unleashed in their life.
Good. That's wonderful.
Jeff, if I could. There's a great scene in the movie Avatar. I don't know if everyone's seen it. But the avatar of Jake Sully, the Marine, is captured and brought to the leaders of the Na'vi people, whatever they are. But basically, they decide that they're going to try and teach him their ways. And the spiritual leader of the clan is saying, you know, it's hard to pour into a cup that's already full.
Oh.
And he says, believe me, my cup is empty. You know, but and he's from the Jarhead clan. I live in
the Jarhead.
But that whole image, you know, is our cup full?
Oh, my gosh.
Or are we ready to receive? And yeah. To me, is if we're in that humility state, if we recognize our own humility,
that's
we're ready to receive.
Yourself yeah. To receive.
We're back to that, yes.
I was just going to say, too, when I got saved, we had terrible trials, and God said it took me 10 years to tear down the house, me being the house. Mm-hmm. So everything I believed, I thought, yeah. All my opinions, all my attitudes, were so out of line
yeah.
With what his word was, and it took years to tear it down. I'm sure it's still being torn down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
But,
yeah.
I know.
Mm.
I
hear you.
Yeah.
Really? Well, so,
this,
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. This morning he was so amazing because, you know, I'm a bit really late, like 5:15. I said, Lord, I guess I'm not going to go to Sunday school. You know, I'll wake up at 9:15. I set my watch. And the Lord wakes me up at 8:25. I said, okay, get my brain in gear. I mean, I prayed, Lord, if you want me in Sunday school, wake me up. And he did.
Yeah, well, we're glad.
I think the Lord wanted me here to hear
Amen.
You guys.
So you sleep in service.
Yeah. Right.
All right. Well, there are many fruits. Yeah. And I tell you, one, and you know, a teachable heart is huge. But I got to tell you, one that's important to me is the trashing of preconceived ideas.
Yeah.
In other words, there is a situation coming, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be horrendous. Or, oh, this person's going to be so awful. Or, you know, I mean, that is so wrong. You are sealing the Holy Spirit off from moving in that situation.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Preconceived ideas are just another reflection of your own arrogance. And that you know more than God knows about your life. Forget it.
Yeah.
Just get rid of this stuff. It is filth. It, you know, humility just trashes preconceived ideas. And as two of you said, there is an authentic capacity to receive love and give love. Okay? In humility, some people cannot receive love. You can't give them a gift. It's like, oh, no, I don't, you know, they give that whole thing. Well, you know what? Humble yourself and receive. I mean, what if your grandchild brings a little flower into you, you know, and it's, there's some, it's dirty, you know, so you're not going to take it because your hand's going to get dirty. I mean, I don't know where that was in something. Oh, my gosh, you better take that flower. You know, receive it and don't worry about the dirt and wash your hands.
Yeah.
But you know what? It takes humility to receive.
It takes spiritual eyes.
Yeah, to discern the moment, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So always remember, relationships flourish in the garden of humility. And relationships perish in the thorns of arrogance. Arrogance breaks relationships in every setting. Every setting, whether it's in the family, in the workplace, in the church, man, the Holy Spirit could bring the fullness of the humility of Christ upon a people. Oh my gosh, stand back. Things are going to go crazy good. And one of the beauties of this church, I know, has been the humility of Christ that dwells here. Mm-hmm. And it begins with the pastor. And he'd kill me for saying this, but he models humility in such a compelling way.
Yeah. He does.
And that's why
I live with him, so I have to tell you.
It is so authentic. Yeah. I've known this man for 30 years or something.
Yeah.
Arrogance does not dwell in that man. And this church is here because of the beauty of his humility. I don't know. I just have to say that. So all right, humility. Now, Proverbs 8. Harry, you've already taken us there, so why don't you... No, I don't want to call anybody. All right, Proverbs 8, 22-34. And this is wisdom personified. We're still with wisdom. So somebody read for us 22 to 34 in Proverbs.
I'll read it.
Okay.
Lord, the Lord brought me forth as the first of his works before his deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. When there were no oceans, I was given birth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the earth or its fields or any of the dust of the world, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth. There I was, the craftsman, at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in mankind. Is that to 31?
Mm.
What's that?
Yeah, that's great.
I don't think I've ever read that.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't ever remember reading this. Mm.
34.
Oh, actually, yeah, there's
34.
A little bit left.
34?
32,
I'm sorry.
3, and 4, yeah. Just.
Okay. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not ignore it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway.
Yeah. So, what is wisdom?
Yeah.
What is going on here? What do you see in that? What are the key elements? Anybody? Hmm.
That God is wisdom.
Yeah, and there is, yes.
There's this separateness. God brought wisdom.
Yeah,
forth,
look at this.
And then wisdom was the craftsman at his side.
Yeah,
in the creation.
That's what struck me. You know, okay, I was brought forth in verse 24. I was brought forth in 35. I was there, 27. I was beside him like a master workman. So, what is this wisdom? Who is this?
That's God's tool.
Yeah. If, remember last time in Ephesians, that might have been in Hebrews, we talked about the Trinity. And the first reflection of the Trinity was
the Spirit hovering over the waters? Or?
What was the first thing that was made? In the beginning
was the Word.
And the Word was God. And then what happened? What was first created?
Heavens and earth.
God was light.
Light!
Light. Oh.
Yeah.
And light. And light.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, light was the first reflection of the Trinity. You know, and it believe me, I'm not a theologian, believe me, I'm far from it. But if you think about it, it makes some sense that light was the first reflection. And when you have light, then you have what?
Vision.
Wisdom. You can see.
In his light, we see light.
Yeah. So the first reflection of the Trinity is light, and light illuminates truth. You know, and it's probably heretical to say it, but if there was ever a fourth person of the Trinity, of the quadrinity, it would be truth. Yeah. So light and truth, okay? Our first reflections of the Trinity. Well, what about the first reflection of the Holy Spirit is what we're talking about?
Wisdom.
Wisdom. I mean, that's the only way I could make sense of this proverb? How is God speaking? What is wisdom, a person? I mean, that's, you know, I was there, I was there, I was beside him. Mm-hmm. Isn't it a beautiful thing? Mm-hmm. The diversity of God in all that he does is breathtaking.
Wisdom.
Yeah.
What is? Look at the word W-I-S. I-S. What is?
Yeah, really. That's good.
What's reality?
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway.
Sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
I'm dumb in your domain.
Babbling on, as always. Okay. So, just some thoughts. What is, before we leave this, what is the relationship between wisdom and humility? Can anybody grab onto that?
Knowing it's not you.
Attitude.
Go ahead.
Humility.
Attitude,
Michelle.
Knowing it's not you, that it's something greater speaking through you.
Okay. Yeah. So it's...
Because I know lots of times that it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Good.
We have to be in a position of humility to receive wisdom.
Yes. Exactly.
It's two sides of what? The same
coin.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, it is wise to be humble, and humility brings wisdom. I mean, it's
so realizing you don't know anything like a child.
Right. Yeah. Remember last week we talked about how Jesus, you know, he calls us friends, and then James speaks of himself as a servant. And that servanthood unto Jesus and being a friend of Jesus, it's two sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
The servant is the friend, and the friend is the servant.
Right.
So, you know, we have these interesting coins that are rattling around on the table. So, anyway. All right. I guess we got to move on here. So, just a reflection on what we've been speaking. The highest call of the human mind is to, in humility, receive the revelation of the essence of God through the witness of His Spirit, His Word, and His creation, and to respond to this revelation with surrender, adoration, and praise. True wisdom emerges from this spiritual position. Okay, it's a position. And the trial at hand is navigated in light, in the light of the wisdom that is given. So the deportment, the behavior of the believer is thus permeated by wisdom and action. Wise choices made on the understanding of the truth of the existence of the Godhead and the revelation received of His presence, first and foremost, His perspective and His purpose. So, you know, when trial comes, God gives you Himself, first and foremost. And when you have Him, then you have His perspective. You can see your life. You can see this hideous thing that's happened to you. All of a sudden, it's like, oh my gosh, I can trust God in this. I will have wisdom to navigate this. And Christ in me, the hope of glory, will be one step closer. That's so unbelievably important. Again, going back to the Yukons, I mean, how do you ever navigate what happened to them? You have to trust God, and you have to have His perspective. Otherwise, you will quit. And so this is where James is going with this. You know, count it all joy. So, all right, going on to 5b. Okay, going back to James, and it'll move a little quicker now, so that's about what I figured. So if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God. So this is prayer. And who gives to all men generously and without reproaching, and it will be given him. So who may receive God's counsel?
Anyone who asks.
Anybody. Yeah. She'll love it. The all men. You know? But is it all men?
Those who ask.
Those who ask and
believe.
And believe, yeah. Okay, so all men. Remember, James is writing To who?
Believers.
These are believers that he's writing to. Yeah. Yeah. And I threw in Hebrews 11:6. Does anybody know that one at the top of their head? Yeah. Go ahead.
Without faith, it is possible to believe God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For whoever would draw near to God must believe, number one, that he exists, and number two, that he rewards those who seek him. God is personal.
Diligently seeking.
Yes, diligently. Oh, good for you. Yeah. You see, God is personal. You know, the beauty of that whole the segment in Proverbs that we read is that God is personal, so wisdom is in relationship with him. Wisdom is loving on God, and God is loving on wisdom, and creation comes out of that personality. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
From the very beginning, God is a person.
Amen.
And he has passion, and he has desire, and that's wisdom itself is a person now, and is passionate about God, and God's passionate about wisdom, and it's just a free-for-all. Of relationship. It's amazing. So, all right, so all men would really be any man, woman, child, whatever, that calls upon God and understands that he is personal, he will listen. Everything that Michael preached last week, you know, God sees. God hears. Do we believe that he hears? How do we pray? I mean, this personality, personhood all over that psalm. 49 it was, I guess. So, okay. Now, how does God give his wisdom to us when we turn to him? I love this. This is, what's the first thing that we see?
Generously.
He gives it generously, yeah. What is that? How would you go another step with that? But
unlimited. He's not going to hold back in any way.
Yeah.
He wants us to have
wisdom.
He wants us to have wisdom.
Whatever we need.
He'll fill the cup.
He will fill the cup.
Overflowing.
Yeah. So.
Someone has said that you ask for a teaspoonful and you have a whole ocean.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
He takes away our fears and in place puts trust.
Amen.
And faith.
Yeah. So it's generosity. It's overflow. My cup runneth over. You know, the abundance of God, even in the most desperate worldly poverty, he will give abundance. I mean, isn't that? I mean, it's streams in the desert.
Right.
Yeah. It's
right. Yeah, but it's still faith and trust, because lots of times it's like GPS. You think you're going in the wrong direction. You think, and you're still following it. But you are going in the right direction.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Well, with God.
Yeah.
It's just like sometimes things seem so wrong. It seems so wrong. And yet it's 100% right.
Turns out.
Well, it's just like when I miss my flight. I mean, I was supposed to take the 7 o'clock flight. My brother put me in the wrong end of the airport of United. So I walk. By the time I said, I need to check in my luggage. So I went back to check in, and it was 6:30, and she said, you missed your flight. I said, but it's still half an hour. She said, no, you missed your flight. And so I said, okay, so who do I sit next to at the flight? Was this Jewish guy. And, you know, I told you before,
trapped for 5 hours.
Some I told you. You know, I had that formula. My brother, said I had to remember when I was 18, and so I got this physics formula, and there's this physics major next to me, and he's Jewish on top, and he explained the whole formula. And then on top of that, I get rewarded for missing my flight. I get 5,000 extra mileage points. I mean, it's so amazing.
So God gives generously.
I didn't know why we got rewarded for being on the flight.
Yeah. So he gives generously. And he gives what? What's the second part?
Without reproach.
What does that mean?
Wow.
He doesn't know, you foolish little thing.
you don't have to pass a test to receive.
Isn't
what
that lovely?
He wants to give you.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to make you change.
Grace. Yes.
Grace.
Yeah. He gives without reproach. He gives without blaming the seeker. You know, God sees us as his children. And we have come to him with open hands and humility. there is no way that he is going to blame you because of what and who?
Jesus.
Good answer.
Jesus.
Yeah. Jesus. No, but see, I mean, it is, but that's it. What thing keeps us from coming to Christ and coming to God in prayer and receiving from Him? We carry around what?
Burdens,
guilt, blame. Guilt. Oh my gosh, I'm a loser. I stink. I'm horrible. Mm-hmm. How could I do this? You know, and this is, God gives without reproach. Mm-hmm. You know, the blood of Christ is so incredibly pure that it covers every sin you could ever dream up. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how many times I wander around with this guilt that is not supposed to be there. The blood of Christ covered that.
I think that's what it tells you. You have to become like a little child.
Because
a little child does the worst thing.
Right? They have no clue.
Yeah.
And then they just crawl up in your lap.
Yeah.
You know. And.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice analogy.
Yeah, it's that's really sad. It is really sad.
Yeah.
You know, the insecurity that we walk around with when we have this treasure inside of us. It is really, I hope the Lord just totally
gets
rid of that.
Blameless.
Yeah.
Yeah, I read in someplace that the tombstone had one word, forgiven. I mean, that says it all.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Put the dates and then forgiven.
Yeah.
He doesn't look at our merits or demerits.
Mm-hmm. No, really.
Yeah.
So always, always, always let the blood of Christ Jesus do its fullest work on your soul.
Amen.
There is nothing that blood cannot cover because of its infinite purity. The sacrifice was infinitely powerful, infinitely powerful. And so we don't go around, when we ask God for wisdom, He will give it without reproach.
You know, I like what you said about, you know, get rid of the preconceived ideas because, you know, you ask of God for something. And then all your preconceived ideas kind of flood your head.
Yeah, really.
And then you're this, you know, you're this doubting person tossed around, and nothing good is going to come out of that. Nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I've just been there so many times.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to read Isaiah 60:10, and then we're going to shut it down. 61:10. Now, this is spinning off the reproach. Somebody who gets there, just read that and hear this. I've read this verse a lot this year, but it just really helps.
61:10.
61:10.
Yeah. There we are. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garment of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels.
So that's how God sees us. Garments of salvation. Remember, salvation, justification, sanctification, glorification from the moment in time that you receive Christ, your salvation is at hand, and it does not finish until you are before Him in glory. So those are the garments that we wear, you know, and the robe of righteousness. I mean, yeah, you know, we're so broken without Him, but with Him we are totally complete, and His righteousness is upon us, and we are acceptable. So this is how God gives, and this is whom He gives and what He gives. All right, well, think about for next time the rest of this. What role does faith play in praying for wisdom from God, and how doubt, you know, what doubt does to us? And we'll try to make it all up. All right, well, if someone would close us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have revealed to us during this time. We thank you for all of the insights and revelations that you gave to Jeff to share with us today. Mm. Be with us this week as we absorb all of this and pour your wisdom out upon us generously so that we may understand and grow and become more like your Son, Jesus. May this time be a time that has fruit in each one of our lives and every one of our relationships. Be with us now. We lift this worship service into your loving care. We pray for the worship team and Pastor Michael. And open each one of our hearts, our minds, our eyes and ears, that we would receive, that we would participate, and that we would be blessed during this coming time. We pray all this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Isaiah.